This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have updates with Melissa Hammer and Tyler Donaldson as well. The House and Senate have passed a stopgap spending measure to keep the government funded through late December. The bill now goes to President Biden, who intends to sign it. After the vote, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven released a statement saying it is time for Congress to get back to regular order and pass the appropriation bills on the floor.
Contract negotiations between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance have come to a halt. Without a new labor agreement, a workers' strike is looking more and more likely come October 1st. Soybean Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek says while a strike would not directly impact most commodity groups, it would still be felt.
It would not have an impact on the bulk commodities like agricultural products that are exported, wherein you just simply load an ocean vessel into the empty cargo holds full of loose soybeans or grain. But the containerized exports, and we have, less than 10% of our exports occur via containers, but it would have a detrimental impact on those exports, as well as meat exports occur in refrigerated containers. And of course, the livestock industry is our number one customer when it comes to the soybean industry.
And a strike could have far-reaching impacts on the broader economy.
Something that is a real concern to us. We want the two sides to come to an agreement that hopefully benefits both sides. Neither side's going to get everything they want. I don't think either side should expect that. But our big point is what is not in the best interest of farmers and the broader economy is having a stoppage at such a wide swath of our portfolio in the United States.
Questions remain with the closure of the Ag Innovation Campus soybean crush facility in Crookston. This concept began 6 years ago, followed by a $1 million investment in a feasibility study funded by the Minnesota Soybean Checkoff Program. Construction began in 2021, and the $24 million plant began processing soybeans nearly 1 year ago. At an event in January of last year, plant manager Bill Paulson spoke to the Red River Farm Network about the project.
This was an exciting project from the get-go. It's altogether different than what is normal out there. There's nothing else like this. This is a research facility that wants to have a crush facility that operates like a for-profit business. So it's a non-profit company, but they want an efficient running crush facility that operates the same as everybody else that's crushing beans.
In 2019, the Minnesota legislature approved $5 million within the Omnibus Ag Bill for the Ag Innovation Campus. Another $750,000 was awarded in 2023. The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development invested $452,000 from its Public Infrastructure Grant Program. Other major investors in the project include the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, and Farmers Union Enterprises.
Tom Slinica serves as the Chief Executive Officer for Ag Management Solutions, which provides association management services to groups like the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association, Wisconsin Soybean Growers Association, and the Specialty Soya Grains Alliance and Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers. Slinica is also CEO of Minnesota Soybean and Ag Innovation Campus, and said the AIC project was originally going to be co-located with the Epitome Energy soybean crush plant.
The concept there is that we would have been able to share marketing costs, labor costs, even simple things like the building of the scale. Doesn't seem like a big investment, but for a small plant, it's a pretty large investment to have a commercial scale. So all of those things would have help this project to stay on track, but they simply didn't happen, again, because of the pressure on the overall crush margin.
In 2022, Epitome Energy suspended its plans for the Crookston location and still working on development of a crush plant at Grand Forks.
It's been a very interesting last three, 4 years. you know, when COVID first happened, everything kept moving forward, but then a delay in parts and availability of labor, and then the doubling of the cost of the project due to COVID really started to put a lot of added pressure that nobody had or could have anticipated. Other pressures that exist on today's crush plants, as well as somebody opening like this, really is the soybean oil market.
And Slonica said the soybean crush industry has been hurt by the uncertainty over renewable biodiesel and sustainable aviation fuel markets. Crush plant profitability is at a 20-year low, and the final nail in the coffin was a fire that happened a month ago that damaged a small portion of that plant. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. USDA will release the small grain summary and quarterly stocks report Monday. Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson says the reports could have an impact on the grain trade.
They didn't change the wheat number in the September crop report. They'll do that this coming Monday, like you said. We did, the average guess for all wheat production is down a little bit, about 12 million bushels or so. So it's not a big deal, but we'll just have to see what they come up with numbers. And then, of course, this old crop stocks on corn and beans.
Abbott Futures President Roy Abbott expects the grains to chop sideways ahead of that quarterly grain stocks report.
Good support underneath the beans and the corn. The funds want to buy this stuff. They're still short. They've covered a lot of their shorts. But typically, when they get started in one direction, they keep going. So you have to think in terms of they want to get out of all of their shorts, and then they probably want to start to get long. So we'll have to see. But if the funds want to buy it, there's going to be good support on dips.
We'll also get a September hogs and pigs report this afternoon from USDA.
Some people think that the total inventory will be slightly higher. The breeding herd will be slightly lower. I think what the breeding herd number is will be probably the most important part of the report. If the breeding herd is not down as some people think, and the pigs kept per litter is higher as it's been continuously, then it'll be viewed as a little bit bearish.
DeKalb Asgrow technical agronomist Derek Pruitt says September weather has pushed the corn to maturity.
It's been an incredible September. Generally, we say corn's made in July and August, but this year it kind of feels like September. September was pretty important for us, too.
Pruitt says the corn crop will be wet, but it will reach maturity.
Unless someone was really pushing maturity or got in super late, I think we're going to be there at black layer fairly steady. You know, I mean, we're looking at the rest of this week will still be warm, and then it'll go down to more seasonal weather. And so we won't be picking up nearly as many GDUs. But, I mean, even just looking at the 10-day, we're not looking to get a hard frost anytime soon. So we've still got some time. But yeah, we're actually in a pretty good spot there.
This year has been a roller coaster when it comes to wondering if the corn and soybeans would make maturity by harvest. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
Jeremy Haven with Haven Farms Harvesting expects a surprising corn crop this year. The start of the growing season did not look promising for South Dakota.
We were in the field relatively early, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of early water damage to our corn and nitrogen deficiencies and fertility issues and from the water. And it really showed early summer, and then it kind of evened out. As the corn matured, it looked like the crop evened out. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the yield monitor shows for yield and for moisture and crop condition, I guess, as we get across the corn crop. I think it's going to be a really interesting corn harvest that way.
Haven attests a lot of that to the warm September so far this year.
You know, we deserve this September because our June was really cold. Our corn was in at a decent time, late April to mid-May, and should have given us plenty of time to finish. And with the cold June, it didn't do anything. So we have, like I said earlier, we have some corn that's still trying to finish. So I think by the end of the week, maybe we'll hit black layer. But then we still got a ways to go to dry down, of course. But overall, it,
it looks like it's going to be a pretty good harvest.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The American Farm Bureau Partners in Advocacy Leadership Program is finishing up its trip to Washington, D.C. today. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
Hastings, Minnesota dairy farmer Amanda Duro is one of 10 members of the American Farm Bureau's PAL program to attend the D.C. trip this week. Duro says the program is a great way for ag professionals to grow as leaders and advocates for the agriculture industry.
Partners in Advocacy Leadership Program by American Farm Bureau is a two-year program. So there are 10 farmers selected from across the country. It was in a competitive process. We're doing four trips through the program in those 2 years, but we have homework every week. So we're really studying agriculture. We're studying communications and storytelling. We're studying political advocacy and leadership to really hone in and build our skills, challenge us and grow in different ways. So we can be better farmers on our farms, but be better farmer stewards in our farming communities and in our communities that we live in.
Duro considers herself an advocate for urban farming.
My hometown's Fergus Falls. I currently farm in Hastings, Minnesota. So when I introduce myself, I always tell anyone I'm a farmer, but now I even say I'm a suburban dairy farmer. Farm 25 minutes from St. Paul, so really blending the lines of rural and urban. So I'm able to advocate. We're direct selling our beef to consumers. We're in the market. I work at the Minnesota State Fair on a volunteer basis to really connect that consumer with the story of their how their food's grown. And I think as everyone faces challenges in their daily lives and inflation, grocery store prices are talked a lot. So really taking advantage of being a farmer in the Twin Cities area and promoting how farmers are working so hard to deliver high quality food to consumers.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Crystal, North Dakota farmer Paul O'Toole says his corn and soybeans are still a ways from harvest.
Our soybeans are still a little green. We won't be harvesting them probably for another week or two. They're changing quite fast, but they're just not ready to harvest yet. Corn, of course, will be late later in October. It looks good. It looks nice, but it's just not ready to harvest. Needs some more time. Yeah.
Checking markets as we speak, we are 6 cents higher for the December Minneapolis wheat contract, 6.23 the quote. Chicago wheat 5.75 higher for the December contract. KC wheat, same contract, 6 higher. A fraction better in corn, the December contract a 0.5 cent higher at 4.15 3/4. We have a fraction lower in some of the deferred contracts. In soybeans, November 10.61 1/4, an 8 cent gain. Checking in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota Stockmen's Association with its All Breeds Cattle Tour going on in the Jamestown area. That will be Tuesday. This is the 37th year for that event. And the North Dakota Bankers Association has its Ag Credit Conference next week, Wednesday and Thursday. That'll be held in Fargo. And, of course, the South Dakota Stockmen's Association has their meeting coming up starting October 8th. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.